Let's start at the very beginning. The very beginning, according to the Hebrew Scriptures, Genesis 1 through 5. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the abyss, while a wind from God swept over the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day and the darkness night. And here was evening and there was morning, the first day. So what do we make of these verses? The earth was a formless void and darkness covered the face of the abyss. The Hebrew word that translates as formless void is tohu vabohu. So in the beginning, we have chaos and an abyss. And darkness covered this abyss. And the world was created from this watery void. The birth of a planet, or maybe a universe. A moment when the wind of God swept over the waters and everything shifted. The Hebrew word ruach translates to wind, but also means breath or spirit. The breath of God, the spirit of God swept the waters. Darkness was separated from light. The conditions for life as we know it were set in place. This is a story, a metaphor. We don't need to believe that it's true for this story to have power and meaning for us. The word Genesis is the name of the first book of the Hebrew Scriptures and has come to mean beginning or creation. These words from the book of Genesis have inspired me in several ways. They made me want to consider the source of our creative energies. This idea of the breath of God blowing over chaos. So let's start with this God. Who is this Elohim of the Hebrews who breathes on the waters? At the time of this ancient story, the concept of God was not anthropomorphized as it would be later on, and it was for many of us in our childhoods. Here, God is a breath, a wind, a spirit, a verb instead of a noun. God is an agitator who stirs things up. These concepts can be very inspiring to those of us who believe that we had to reject this God the Father with the big white beard. These ideas of God are also reflected in the song that Celia and Ina performed for us today, Name Unnamed. Beautiful movement ceaselessly forming, growing, emerging with awesome delight. Maker of rainbows, glowing with color, arcing in wonder, energy flowing in darkness and light. Nudging discomforter, prodding and shaking, waking our lives to creative unease. Midwife of changes skillfully guiding, drawing us out through the shock of the new. Have you ever thought of God as a nudging discomforter, waking our lives to creative unease? Process theologians, a 20th century theology describing God and the universe, would say that God is a verb, a mystery that lures us to create, to change. That God is in the spirit of life, this life force of the universe that's constantly moving and changing, ceaselessly forming. And this creation never stops. In these scriptures from Genesis, on the seventh day, God rested, but it didn't mean that the life force is anything but finished. The life force strives for creativity and diversity. We know that children are endlessly creative. Species who don't mix up their genetic pool become inbred and weak. Bacteria mutate to conform to the environment that they live in. Humans keep writing and drawing and building, creating, destroying, and recreating. The life force is always driving us towards the new. This life force of the sex drive, the energy of conception and birth, even death is a form of creative transformation. What is this source of creativity? For many, it comes unbidden. For others, it comes when you stop trying too hard to find it. In his reflection this morning, Carl said, "Where there was nothing, now there is something," and almost seemed amazed at the process of how the page was suddenly filled with script. Some creative moments are famous. The exclamation, "Eureka," is attributed to the Greek scholar Archimedes, who reportedly proclaimed Eureka when he stepped into the bath and noticed that the water level rose, and he suddenly understood that the volume of water displaced must equal the part of his body that had displaced it. This gave him a solution to the problem of how to measure the volume of irregular objects. "Eureka!" he cried. Newton famously discovered the idea of gravity when he watched an apple fall to the ground from a tree. For Mozart, one of the most creative and prolific musicians in history, music simply came into his head fully formed when he found himself alone and in good cheer. He said, "All this fires my soul, and provided I am not disturbed, my subject enlarges itself and becomes methodized and defined, and the whole stands complete in my mind." He would hear all the parts of a symphony at once, in a pleasing and lively dream. Then when he was ready to write it down, he would simply take it out of what he called the bag of his memory, and could transcribe music while eating, even talking. For those of us who labor for our creative output, this can seem quite magical. However, Mozart's muse was famous for being capricious. He wrote an overture for one of his operas on the morning of the premiere. So you think ministers are bad about the timing of their sermons. For others, creativity is not so easy. It can be a volcano that overcomes you. Such is for Robin Williams and other extremely creative people who struggle to live within the bounds of their creative expression. Consciously creative people will tell you that they don't create things by a process of consciously deciding they're going to be creative. Sometimes the inspiration comes to us when we let down our efforts to be rational. Bertrand Russell, the British philosopher, said he would experience a fruitless effort to expend his creative work to completion by sheer force of will before he discovered the necessity of waiting for it to find its own subconscious development. So, what does this creative process feel like? Some have described it as a vague, confused excitement, a yearning, a hunch, or an intimation of an approaching or pending resolution. In all cases, before discovery, there is this important time of unknowing, a time undifferentiated, like the abyss and chaos before the breath of God swept over the waters. It's a condition of complete indecision, something nameless, something featureless, that is stirring in you. There are many of us, adults in particular, who are uncomfortable with the creative process. And it's very normal to have this resistance. To open up our creative energies, we have to get out of the box of our comfort zone. And this box that we're in, the conscious and rational mind, contains everything we know, organized in a way that we're comfortable and familiar with. While the unconscious, the subconscious, this womb of creativity is dark and mysterious, like the waters of Genesis. To dip into those waters can be challenging. Sometimes we can experience those waters as depression or anxiety, often a normal part of the creative process. Sometimes we must go deep into the abyss before we can find the inspiration, before we can feel the shift and know what direction to take with our lives. Our culture does not encourage creativity, especially if we measure it by how we teach our children. Teaching math and English for the purpose of passing a test is not going to inspire creativity. Indeed, it's likely to squelch any creativity that is present. And with this attitude we have of scarcity and focus on science, the arts and the music programs are often the first to be cut in our school programs. This squelching of our creative side really began in the 19th and 20th centuries with the advancement of scientific rationalism. The scientific method of deduction breaks the big questions down into smaller size boxes, and anything that goes into that box, anything that tests the hypothesis, has to be observed and measured. Otherwise, it is not proven or it's not recognized. I find it ironic that many significant scientific discoveries are made by accident, finding one thing when you're looking for another. Through this focus of external measurements, our culture not only encourages people to wall off their creative impulses, but we're taught that our own intuition is not to be trusted. When you think of it, it's amazing that vital and creative change is going on in spite of all the opposition and indifference to encouraging creativity. But I believe that creativity is needed now more than ever in our world. Today we have widespread, deep, and significant change taking place in the very structure of our lives, the very structure of our world. Many people are putting up walls of fear and resistance, turning to fundamentalism or militarism or black and white ways of thinking in order to have things make sense. People are using their creative energies to spin paranoia rather than build community or find new and creative ways to move forward. Because of the complexities of our problems, we need creativity more than ever. And I believe that only creativity will save us as a species. I'm not opposed to scientific discovery. I think it's remarkable and amazing. But truly, with the complexity of our world today, it's creativity, it's new ways of thinking that will save us. We must break the hold that the old order has over us and create new ways of living, new ways of thinking, new ways of being. And fortunately, some of these new ways are emerging. In the sciences, particularly physics, math, ecology, there's less emphasis on deductive reasoning and more attention to systems and chaos theory. In these non-linear ways of viewing the world, scientists are finding pattern of flow and creation that are replicated in our bodies and in the universe. Neuroscientists who are trying to deduce the brain in isolated bits are realizing that there's so much interaction in the brain and the brain in the body that you have to view the entire system as a whole. Geneticists who are trying to map out the human genome are learning that our DNA is actually responding and changing to the environment, creating and recreating our genetic maps. Creation is ongoing. And we must be a part of that creation. Each of us is a player in the ongoing genesis. Each individual action and interaction between us is co-creating the world. We are creators. I find it reassuring in our world right now that there's a new focus on spirituality, this idea of I'm spiritual but not religious. I think that's a good change because people, by saying that they are spiritual, they're saying that they're finding the need for something more, something greater than their day-to-day lives. There's this desire to get out of our rational minds and open to other ways of knowing, to hearing both the inner voice and listening for the breath of God agitating the waters. Creativity is a spiritual practice. Some of you may be familiar with the Artist's Way curriculum. It's a 12-week program to help inspire creativity. And one of the basic requirements of this course is that you have to have what the author calls an artist's date each week. Now, this is not a date with an artist. This is a date with yourself. Essentially, 2 hours of fun per week. You and your inner artist get to decide whether you want to go sit, whether you want to sing or draw, go bowling, go hiking, cooking, coloring with your kids or your grandkids, coloring without your kids or your grandkids. What a simple and engaging way to open your spirit and participate in creation. Fun as a spiritual practice. I vote for that. It is the responsibility of each of us to participate in creation, and the responsibility of our institutions to foster the creative spirit. Unitarian Universalism is a liberal religion. We believe that revelation is not sealed, that we can create new ways of understanding, new ways of relating. It is the hallmark of our Unitarian Universalism that we define ourselves by our growth and creative response to the needs of the world. This is the Unitarian Universalism that the world needs. Growing, responding creatively to the world and offering that to people that are not here, not a part of us. Genesis, the spirit moves. The breath of God agitating us to new ways of thinking and being, reaching into our own watery depths to find the creative source. May we be so challenged and inspired. May we be open to the creative process and this flow of the life force. We sing, Spirit of life, come unto me. Blow in the wind, rise in the sea, move in the hand. May you be open to this great energy of creation. May it call you, agitate you to be a creator yourself. So may it be.